Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Life seems very small as it is day to day. And then you just have these moments.
Scorpion? What's there?
To just open it up.
Scorpion sighting.
Into something
where?
Much more complex
where?
And rich.
Where is it?
Move your leg, Shadow.
Oh, my. Is
that hey,
me?
I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
This is Radiolab, and today.
Things.
And our next story involves one thing, three people. Craig.
I'm Craig Childs.
Who you just heard.
I'm a writer and traveler from Western Colorado.
Reagan.
I'm Reagan Choi. I'm an artist and a mother and an educator.
Know each other?
Oh yeah, we're married.
And finally, Dirk.
Dirk Vaughn. I was a street cop in mostly Denver.
Craig's a unlikely best buddy.
I mean, if we'd have been at school together, I would have just beat the shit out of him in the playground, you know?
Yeah, we drive each other mad, but in the end, we can still scramble around just fine.
Part of what joined us is we were in love with wilderness.
For years, they would take these trips together out into the wilderness of Colorado or Utah.
No maps, no GPS.
No trails.
No campfires, even.
Dirk and I would go off for weeks in the desert together. I think the longest trip we took was a month out, just wandering, looking for routes.
And it was on one of these trips that they made a discovery that I think it's fair to say still haunts them today, and recently almost killed one of our producers.
So we'd been out for a couple of days.
On this particular occasion, the three of them are together, and they're a couple days into a hike.
Where are we again? We're in Utah, is that right?
Yeah, Utah.
Think desert, but rocky.
Slick rock, sandstone, cliffs.
Canyonland. So they're hiking through all these canyons.
And we split up. Reagan said she wanted to set her own camp. And so she stayed in one canyon, and Dirk and I popped over into the next canyon over.
Really? You just... Is that a normal thing, or were you guys fighting?
No, that's normal.
We weren't fighting at all. It's one of the great things about being out together is that there's an ease with that.
So separating is part of the deal.
Yeah, and I think Reagan was looking at Dirk and me and saying, you guys are going to go scrambling and get weird. I'm gonna stay over here. I don't know if that was the case.
Well, part of it was just that I was at least 5 months pregnant, and I was just starting to have a really hard time tightening my backpack so that the weight wasn't all on my shoulders.
And she says while she was hiking, the pregnancy hormones were giving her bouts of vertigo. It was just starting to hit her, like, wow, in a couple of months, things are going to be really different. So she needed some alone time. She set her own camp. Dirk and Craig, meanwhile, scale up this cliff face to get to the next canyon over.
And when we get to the very close to the top, and there's a little flat area.
This balcony of rock overlooking the canyon below.
This little ledge.
So we said, well, okay.
Let's just sit here, have some lunch.
Break out the pipe.
Smoke some pot.
Exactly. So we sit down and... And we are literally both have like the first lungful.
When Craig decides to take his backpack off.
And he leans over.
And I notice as I'm bending over a round object underneath the edge of a boulder, back under the shadow.
And he says, hey, there's a pot under there.
So is it straight vertically below you?
I'm eye to eye with it. And then I dropped to my knees and looked into this shadow, and there was this beautiful red jar.
Low and flat, covered in maybe 700, 800, maybe 1,000 years of dust.
It's a kind that's called a seed jar with just this narrow mouth on the top, and it had black paint design around the mouth. We're talking about early Pueblo people, cliff dwellers, people who lived out in that desert 1,000 years ago.
And as he looked closer, he could see that this particular jar,
it had a crack down the front of it, and it had two holes drilled around the crack, and then a piece of yucca twine had been used to tie the holes together.
Oh, so it was precious to somebody.
Yeah.
So they might have left it there.
Maybe it was during a migration.
Thinking they would return at some time.
Maybe they were on the run.
I mean, someone was hiding it from other people?
Yes.
You don't know who it was, if it was male or female, or what clan, or in any of those stories, but you know it was a human being in the same position that you're in right there. Doing the same thing, the same gesture. You can see the hand reaching out and placing the object. You can imagine the hands and the feet and the people and the sounds that they would make.
They stared at it for about an hour, not really saying much. And then suddenly it just hits Dirk.
Oh.
Wait a second.
We gotta move this thing. Somebody else is gonna find this.
It just felt like if we can just kind of luck into it.
What's to stop some four-wheel driving
bipedal pillager
from doing the same?
Because it's an access route. I don't know, I felt sort of protective of it.
Because, you know, pot hunters were all over the Southwest looting dig sites, and that jar would be worth a lot of money.
Tens of thousands of dollars, at least.
You wanted to make sure they somehow didn't get their hands on this.
And so I thought, well, let's hide it.
Craig was like, no.
I said, absolutely not.
The moment we touch that jar,
it no longer is part of that story. It's now part of our story.
He's a purist.
We do not move this thing.
Not move it. Protect it. Let's cover it. I wanted to build a corral of stone around it to, like, camouflage it.
That's exactly what I'd be looking for. In fact, I wouldn't notice the seed jar. I'd notice the rock, and I would go, ooh, somebody's hiding something.
Yeah, right.
Dirk's looking at me going, you and your Yoda crap.
God damn.
And he says, we could give this another 700 years of life.
Hell, it had been there probably 1,000 years.
Well, so how do you resolve this?
He said, you know, we'll come back tomorrow. We'll just leave it for now.
Oh, so you left in a draw.
We left in a draw, and we actually hopped back over the canyon to find Reagan.
Reagan's kind of like this badass samurai chick. I thought, well, oh yeah, I'll be able to draft Reagan over to my side.
So they hiked back up to that ledge, yelled out for her, and the next day she hiked on over to where they were.
I remember her hitching up her pants, pregnancy style, and kind of squatting down to get in there.
What was your first thought when you saw it?
Focus. And just being right there, completely consumed in that moment. And I think it went on for a long time because eventually they're like, so, what do you think?
I want to hear the truth, what we should do.
Oh, you guys argued back and forth for at least an hour and a half, and I just ignored you for most of it because I was just looking at the seed jar. I wasn't really thinking to be in the position of arbiter, but I just got fed up. And I was like, that's enough, you guys. Leave it alone. It's part of an ongoing story. Like, just give it up. Leave it alone.
Ooh, and so...
So she takes some pictures and we walk away.
And within a year of that moment,
everything just, like, went whirlwind.
Reagan and Craig had a baby. Craig decides to become a writer. He writes a book. It becomes a bestseller.
I quit the business and got divorced.
Everything changed. But even on that day, they knew.
This will be the center of things we talk about for the rest of our lives, the seed jar. Yeah, the day we found the seed jar.
Do you think it's still there?
I think it's still there. I think it is. The route's pretty complicated.
With that particular location, I'd say 50-50. Tops.
Huh.
Again, if only that were the end of the story.
I don't think you're going to be in the same vehicle.
No, he said he wouldn't.
You know, we could have done the thing where you're just like, oh, the narrative power of objects, meta, blah, blah. No, we were like, is the damn thing there? Or did someone take it? We got so curious about this that we convinced Craig, Reagan, and Dirk to go back.
Now they're here.
And check. And we sent our producer, Molly Webster, along for the ride.
Half the camp has just arrived.
Yeah, we've been.
I didn't realize when they were like giving each other a hug the first night at camp, and I was there with my recorder shoved in their faces. That like.
It was actually
like a big moment.
I guess this is a reunion trip. We haven't seen Dirk in ages.
Reagan had said that one of the last times, now that people have kids and families, one of the last times they were together was this seed jar.
What are you talking about?
Yay, we're so happy you're here. Like, and so they were really, really, really excited to like be together.
Wait, how long ago was this when they found the thing?
It was 11 years ago.
This was 11 years ago?
Yeah, so the kids were, Reagan was 5 months pregnant, and the kid she was pregnant with is Jasper.
Well, turn off the light and come on out. Come say hi.
He's now 11. He just had his 11th birthday.
Should I bring my backpack out?
Wow.
Close the door and come say hi.
Hi.
Hey, man, I'm Molly.
I'm Dirk.
Dirk had never met their kids?
Well, he had, but the last time he saw Jasper, Jasper was a baby. And the other thing is, I'm just going to say, Craig and Dirk are like brothers from another mother.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they are like the bestest bromance I've ever seen. They love each other so much. So anyway, so we get there and we like drop our bags. We go to sleep. And
in another sleeping bag.
Woke up, four-wheel drove or drive. I don't actually know how that goes. Out into the mesas. Parked the cars. And then we hiked a mile and a half to the edge of the mesa.
Wow.
Basically, the entire landscape felt like they had just put me on a bonanza set. It was like gnarled, warpy trees. Red sandy sandstone. There, you're on this mesa, and then it falls off into this canyon, and then there's like another mesa, and then that falls off into a canyon. And there's another mesa, and then that, and it's just this like unending landscape.
But look, we're floating up here now.
Yeah.
And there's just, is it just like?
There's no sound.
There's no cars like, in the distance.
No sounds. No nothing.
It's infinite.
I mean, I know we came out the top and across when we went back to get Reagan.
And basically, our objective was to go somewhere into this, like, canyon land.
Drop down to where Reagan was camped before.
Yeah, yeah, and come along the...
And somehow find, like, a tiny little seed jar.
It's weird to go back, because I like to think of it. Like, this is going to change things. If it's not there...
If we do not find the seed jar, I'm going to be right so mad.
I like to be out in the world and just think about it. Just go, okay, there's a seed jar sitting there under a boulder right now, and it will be there for the longest time, and it's just quiet. Then I can imagine the wind going around it and more sand building up, and it's just this really nice thought of isolation and perpetuity.
I kind of want to hear it echo. So we set up camp on the edge of a mesa, and then we all went to sleep.
What's the flute sound?
The flute, that's, I don't know, Craig apparently has a flute in his bag. Dirk calls him Flute Boy. It was weirdly appropriate. So anyway, so we wake up like first light.
Is today the day, guys?
Today's the day we go find out if the egg is still there in the nest.
Today's the day!
We start hiking. We go down this 800-foot descent.
Watch out for those rocks.
No femurs are broken.
And we strap this down. The Anasazi were some tough people.
We wind around this canyon.
Moving on these cliff sides.
Through a saddle. Around the back of another canyon.
How long did this hike take?
To get out there, it probably took 6, maybe 7 hours.
Wow.
We're going pretty slow. The kids were amazing, but also slow.
God damn it.
It was starting to, like, it was starting to bug Dirk, I think, is the way to say it.
Wow, it's really hot. Sun's straight overhead.
I think they'll end up having to park the kids somewhere.
Sure enough, at the end of the six-hour hike...
If you could leave your pack so that they've got extra water and snacks.
The kids need a break, and so we sort of leave them in an alcove on the side of the canyon.
I don't want to come.
Well, we'll
figure out where it is, and then we'll get you so you guys
got. Luckily, I brought my book.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
And Reagan's like, all right, boys, you have your emergency whistles. Remember, 3 times, but no joking.
Okay, final ascent.
You know, we went up that angle?
Yeah, we went up that diagonal there. I remember it really, really clearly.
I'm all behind you.
So there's this, we were slammed up against this canyon wall. We needed to get over it. And the only way to do that was that there was a boulder sort of out in front of the canyon wall, and it created this skinny little chute. And we had to wedge ourselves into the chute and, like, go up it.
No, I think getting up on it is
60 feet.
So take a breath there, Molly. Hold on. Take a breath.
I would like to get off this plant.
I had to, like, put my back against one wall and my feet against the other.
Push between the two walls.
And I had this moment where before I left, Dylan told me not to die for Radiolab. So I paused and I was like, okay, don't do this for Radiolab. Do it for yourself.
Don't be modest. Just lean towards there. There.
Okay. Never doing that again.
By the time we get done with the gnarly ascent, everyone's like, Sea Jar is going to be there because no one else would do this.
That was really hard.
You got the spot, Paige. Just head down that bench.
So Dirk and Craig are like, okay.
This is it. We did that route. I'm absolutely certain we did that route.
The Sea Jar should be around here somewhere.
We're like walking around giant tumbled boulders looking under.
We've got like a quarter of a mile of canyon face to figure it out.
Just giant tumbled boulders.
Craig thinks it's to the left. Dirk thinks it's to the right.
Anything, Dirk? No.
It's so weird because...
Does it look familiar?
This is it. This is the spot.
I mean, it's been 11 years.
Yeah, but I know this is the spot. I know it.
Well,
we don't see the spot.
It's just getting trickier and trickier.
They're like just going like really confused.
We weren't that far down. We didn't.
We've been looking, I don't know, for an hour.
And it all, like, looks the same. Like, just everything looks the same to an untrained eye, right? It's like, where's Waldo Land? And we're trying to find Waldo.
Go over, find Craig. Get his thoughts.
I finally see Craig kind of far off down the canyon, standing by himself, just staring at the ground. And I was like, hey, like,
okay.
Any luck?
I went down and looked at what would have been our likely route up.
Yeah.
Which is right up through here. Yeah.
And he points to the ground, like, right where we're standing. And he says, I think it's, like, right here. I think, like, this was the place.
And I don't want to think about this particular possibility. See all that stuff I just walked across?
That went...
Yeah, that's all fresh.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean, fresh?
Well, we were standing on this pile of really sharp rock. It was just all of these sharp little jaggedy knives. I mean, it sort of didn't look like any of the other areas we had been in.
It's possible that the cliff has fallen here and covered everything. The top of that cliff.
If you looked above us to the top of the cliff, it was like someone had just taken a meat cleaver to it. It was just like sliced off.
This whole thing broke off.
The entire cliff face had fallen off and annihilated everything hundreds of feet in either direction.
It's been totally destroyed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have survived.
Even the giant boulder protecting it.
Like, it's been wiped clean.
It reminded me of, like, an iceberg calving. You see all those videos of, like, the front of the iceberg just all of a sudden cleaves off. That's exactly what happened on this cliff.
So you're talking, like 10,000 tons of rock falling here.
Just...
Yeah. I mean, that's not what I was thinking was a possibility. I'm not swallowing it just yet.
So he calls in Reagan.
Reagan, come toward us.
And then Dirk comes wandering over.
It does kind of make sense, I guess.
No. If the pot's been here for 700 years, it doesn't make sense at all that it would happen in the last 11 years.
No, I mean, it makes sense why it's not looking right. It was here. It was right in here. I know it was here.
No. No. Oh, my God.
Craig's, like, leaning against the wall. Dirk was like, wow, man, I guess this must be it. And there was this real, like, they were grappling with something, and I was, like, trying to figure out, like, what they were grappling with. And Craig just kept talking to me, like, not actually about the seed jar, but about the place.
This is where I remember Reagan hoisting up her pants, pregnant, squatting, and Dirk and me on our knees looking in on this thing for the longest time. You know, it was very clear in my mind. To have the place itself gone, I'm fine, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, but Jesus, this is a different kind of sadness that I wasn't quite...
Are you sad?
Yeah. Yeah, this kind of sucks. If it was missing, if somebody had taken it, that would be a sad of like, oh, screw you people. Why do you do this? This is gravity.
Dirk's gone.
We should start moving.
Yeah.
Shit.
All right.
Of an irony.
What? I think it's perfect. It doesn't seem like an irony at all.
Just let it go.
You gonna break into song?
Let it go.
Pick a little, talk a little. Cheep, cheep, cheep. Talk a lot, pick a little.
She likes you, Derek. She wants to hear what you have.
It is like a mountain goat.
Producer Molly Webster. Thanks also to Craig Childs, whose latest book is Apocalyptic Planet.
And a special shout out to Henry Reich from Minute Physics and Minute Earth. He has been spending time with us, got totally fascinated by Craig's story, and made a little wonderful animation of a story that you didn't hear on our podcast or our radio show. It's just on the web. So that is Henry's animation, and you should look for it at radiolab.org.
Yep, it'll be up soon at radiolab.org.
Message to...
This is Dirk Vaughn.
Hi, this is Craig Childs.
This is Jaden Childs.
Hi, this is Reagan Choi.
Radiolab is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR.
Radiolab is produced by Jad Abumrad.
Our staff includes Ellen Horn, Soren Wheeler,
Kim Howard, Brenna Farrell,
Molly Canyon Grub Webster,
Melissa O'Donnell,
Dylan Keefe, Jamie York,
Lynn Levy, Andrew Mills, and Kelsey Padgett.
With help from Ariane Wack, Matt Keelty,
Simon Adler,
and Lily Sullivan.
Special thanks to Mac Primo.
Everyone at MakerBot.
The Edge of the Cedars Park Museum, and Paige Phelps.
Hope that works.
Thanks, and goodbye.
End of mailbox.
Hi, this is Frankie. I have two things to destroy today. The first one is a beer stein that I painted at one of those paint-your-own pottery places with my stupid ex-boyfriend. It's a stupid mug, and it was a stupid relationship, so here goes.
Yes! This is Jared Miller calling from Chicago, Illinois. That was me punching a wall.
This is Caroline Bleehart from Brooklyn, New York.
I made this globe of the world puzzle. Did it when I was in high school because I was spending a lot of time in my room. And
too.
Oh my god, this is...
I don't know, things are getting better now. And maybe it's time so to like to let go of that part. So let's destroy it.
My name is Mary, and I'm going to destroy a picture of me and my ex-boyfriend.
I am cleaning up all the paperwork from my classes, and this is the sound of me ripping them up.
This is one of my father's computers.
And this week, it's 3 years since the stroke that killed your father. So we're going to beat the shit out of it with a hammer.
Yes. That was satisfying.
My name is Justin. Last year, my life was like a country song. First, I lost my girl. Then I lost my job. Then I lost my house. Then my dog got killed. And this is the sound of me destroying my old life. Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.